All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
We are talking some opening round roulette in today's podcast, and we've got a very special guest on to do it. That is, if there is an opening round to talk about, let's go!
I just done it from nowhere.
G'day and welcome again to the Ball Boys AFL Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Casey, and you can find me on Twitter at Ball Boys Fantasy. And it is the final podcast we're doing before actual footy is being played, Luke. We think. And we'll get into that in a little bit a second. But Luke, he's always here on the left of me. How are you doing, mate?
Good, mate. Good. And we haven't had the two of us on here with a guest in a little while.
Usually like to kick you out and other people come on the pod.
You do. That's normally how it works. So, but in this case, we've got guest by name and guest by nature. It's one half of the... Oh, I can't say half anymore.
They've got a quarter
of people over there. So it's Tim Guest from the AFL Fantasy Fanatics. Let's get him on the screen, eh?
G'day, Tim. How are you, mate?
Boys, thanks for having me on. Yeah, it's really good to be here. Really excited to get stuck in a footy this week, like you said, if it happens. And pretty happy about the preseason games being finished and, you know, kind of putting the final touches on the team before we get stuck into some games.
Oh, you and me both, mate. It was like the preseason games, the unofficial practice match simulations, the AAMI Community Series games. It's all very exciting, but it is, especially as a content creator, it's a lot of work as well, but there's just so much information just coming at you left, right. You've got to sort of decipher what's real, what do you pay attention to, what's, you know, maybe just this game is not really as relevant as others. So now that that's behind us, it's, you know, the next stop is the real stuff. So, yeah, keen.
Mate, we're excited to have you on for a couple of reasons. First one being that we're going to play some opening round roulette with you this evening. So we're interested to get your thoughts on a couple of those players that we're going to get a look at in opening round. But before we dive into all that shenanigans, you got a couple of things that you wanted to chat with us about, mate.
Yeah, well, obviously, you boys are the reigning champions of the Content Creators Cup. I mean, Luke obviously is the current reigning champion, and the year before, Mitch, you took out the Content Creators Cup. So we're going around again, and this year we've kind of decided to change things up a little bit. So last couple of years, it's been sponsored by Infinite Wealth. One of the things that we've done is we've made our online programs that typically, look, I sell to my clients for thousands of dollars. We've made them available for AFL fantasy coaches for free. I did have a few requests after the last couple of years. A lot of my programs are based on investing, but people kind of wanted to know a little bit more about how to take control of their cash flow and master their money. So I created a new program online that people can register for again this year. And, you know, hopefully that can help a lot of people out. But as part of the Content Creators Cup, we've made something additional, something pretty exciting available, and that's we're giving a lucky coach out there a chance to be the 20th coach in the Content Creators Cup and go up against our reigning champions, people like yourselves, people like, the guys from Pod, the guys from Hat Chat. We've had a few changes this year as well with some of the players. We've got some new coaches coming in as well, which is pretty exciting. But for anyone who registers for one of the programs before March 10, head across to infinitewealth.com.au/AFL Fantasy. And if you get your registration in before March 10, then you'll go in the draw to be the 20th coach in the Content Creators Cup and see if you can take it out or even beat the Ball Boys, which is something we can't bloody manage to do at the moment. So hopefully you guys can.
I was just going to say, so you guys couldn't get any podcasters to beat us, so you're outsourcing now.
That's what it's come down to, mate. Yeah, we've had to go to the bloody general public to see if we can kick you out.
All the best to him. But no, that sounds really, really cool. And, hopefully the person who does get the lucky winning ticket is ready to bring their A game because they'll be up against some good coaches.
Well, of course, and as much fun as all that is, the other thing is that, you know, Infinite Wealth is very generously donating $5,000 that the winning coaches will get to donate to their charity of choice, which is, you know, good on Infinite Wealth for doing that. And, yeah, have a bit of fun and do a bit of good.
Absolutely. So we're going to talk now about some opening rounds or, you know, potential opening round scores that we're going to see. But before we do that, we'll discuss the elephant in the room. And first of all, this podcast could be irrelevant in 24 hours. Full disclosure, we're recording this on a Monday evening and it's going to be uploaded on Wednesday. So we probably will have I hope we have some information about this by the time this goes to air. But the talk is obviously down here or up here in Brisbane to a lot of you guys. There's a bit of a weather warning coming along with the cyclone hitting on Thursday night. So a little bit of question marks on whether or not at least that Geelong and Brisbane game is going ahead. The talks are that I think Brisbane put in a request to say they would prefer to just play in round three against Geelong at that time. So first, your thoughts, Gessie, on what do you think it does? How much does it shift and change our fantasy structures if Brisbane and Geelong are no longer playing opening round or instead playing that match in round three? Do you think this changes some of our structures, especially in the defence line? We talk about those round three bye players. How does this change some of our fantasy ideas moving into the start of the season?
I think probably the biggest player it could impact is actually an SDK, Sam DeConnick. So, you know, he was that number one ruck for the preseason game. Didn't look that good to the eye, but was up against a really tough ruck matchup in Essendon, which, you know, some people might still be on him because we are really short on those value options in the defensive line. I mean, it's probably been one of the hardest lines this year to sort out. I think the biggest thing that might have happened is that anyone who was still on him might have seen him go up against an Oscar Mack and see him get absolutely, you know, probably, well, not score well again, maybe score roughly around another 60. And then I think that would have had people get off him because we're looking for him as a value option, and that 60 is pretty much where he's priced. So I think he's the one that probably it will be most impacted. I mean, I'm not sure that people are going to move away from him. Matt Roberts, I mean, probably the rookies are the other ones that, you know, we would hope to see those. Jackson Pryor, Zach Reed kind of get we're talking about a different game. I'm just going to stick with Sam DeConnick. I think that's the one that's going to move the most.
Yeah, I also wonder if those other guys maybe become a bit more enticing, you know, like... If you don't have as many of those players, like say you were keen on a Sam DeConnick or someone else, or, you know, obviously we even have Bailey Smith in that team as well. So just in terms of the totality of those round three players, you know, if that game wasn't to go ahead, you'd obviously everyone would have, I'd say everyone would have Levi Ashcroft. A lot of people would have Bailey Smith. Everyone would have him. So there's two players that were on that round three bye that no longer there. So. You could look
might see
to
more ownership on a Will Ashcroft.
Yeah, there's a fair bit there as well. So I think if you were umming and ahhing about some other players, that would be a bit more of a tip in their favour. I personally would be very much more interested in looking at a player like Max Holmes. And I know, Luke, you were saying before the podcast that you were thinking along the same lines of things. I think he has some upside as that sort of premium defender. And we're only really not picking him because... he does miss a game in that round three bye.
Yeah, he's looking right at home at the Oxlongs at the moment.
Nice.
And being the meteorologist that I am, I stuck my finger up. After licking my finger, I stuck it up in the air today and I deduced that it was indeed windy up here in Brisbane.
It is a little windy here.
It is. So I probably am thinking the same lines as you, that maybe that that Thursday game gets canned. But I'd have to think that Gold Coast and Essendon being just down the road 2 days, or it's 3 days later.
Saturday, right? Is that the Saturday?
Saturday, 4 o'clock. Yeah. I get the impression that we should be good for that, which I would imagine means that the other three games will go ahead.
Yeah.
Despite you putting your tinfoil hat on, expecting everything to just get canned.
I don't think it's a 0% chance that opening round in general gets scrapped. I still think it's more than likely that they'll go through with the other three games, even if the first one does. But I think that it's not 0% that.
Well, by the time people watch this, we'll all know anyway.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. So, well, hopefully. Hopefully it's not going to be a day of the game kind of decision to make. So with that all said, we're going to go through some players that are, at this moment, playing opening round. And I guess discussing their chances to be in our side and also trying to put a number and play opening round roulette. Da, 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 da.
We should have had a sound grab.
We should have. We're going to go opening round roulette. Starting in the defense line where I have a lot of names here because there are a lot of names in the opening round that are defender options that we are looking at. I'm going to start with the guy we just talked about, Max Holmes. Is there a score, Guesty, that he comes out in round zero in the pouring torrential cyclonic weather, if he comes out and puts up this score, that you would look to potentially start him?
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
I'm not sure any score would be enough for me. Like, I'm not concerned. I mean, he's a bloody good player, and I think he's a little bit of value, but I'm just more concerned about Geelong and Chris Scott and what he does. We were already seeing the Sam DeConnick and just a lot of uncertainty in that side. We know that that's typically how he operates. So for me, I just like to stay away from these kind of players because they're invariably just a headache. I'm pretty happy with my defensive line at the moment. So, you know, there's probably a couple other players we're going to talk about soon, but I'd be more keen on. But, I think one of the other big things is I'm trying to hold really strong and not allow the opening round scores to impact what I think is a good team.
I will say this, like opening round, I don't think it's everything, but I also don't think it's nothing. Like this time last year, I don't think I had Lachie Whitfield in my team. I also didn't have Brody Grundy in my team. One of those was a good switch. One of those was a bad switch. So there needs to be some sort of, I think, reaction to them. But like you said, yes, it can be hard to sort of distinguish which is that and which is an overreaction. And I guess it always does come down to what are your other options? You know, obviously Tristan Sherry was another amazing option at that time. Lachie Whitfield, like there weren't too many other defenders that, you know, it seems to be the line that we maybe struggle with most years, and especially this year. You know, if there are some defenders particularly that really put their hand up. Like if Max Holmes comes out and puts a 120 against the reigning premiers Brisbane in a fucking cyclone, then I'm going to seriously look at him because that deserves some consideration.
I reckon he's got the keys in there too this year. There's a bit of talk about Dangerfield going forward a little bit more. And obviously, Bailey Smith will spend some time in there. But I think Holmes is their guy. He played Lowish Tog in the most recent community series game just gone, which I think was just one of those ones where he ticks the legs over. But we're going to talk about another defender.
Yeah, and this one, I think there's going to be a score roulette. And there's also going to be a roll roulette. Yeah. And we're talking the sick dog. We're talking James Sicily. Now, he turned some heads, I think, in the last game. I think in the first practice match, he spent like maybe a half or three quarters in defense, then moved forward. In this game, this most recent game, played three quarters and maybe the half of the final quarter in defense and then moved forward in the last sort of 10 minutes or so. What do you want to see, or what would you need to see from Sicily in round zero for him to start in your side?
Look, I think that 9,500 mark for me is enough. I think with Battle and Barras now down in that back line, I think that kind of shores up his role. I'd like to see him still get the kick-ins. His kick is certainly one of those kicks that can kind of slice through that midfield as well. So, we certainly saw that in the preseason game. I didn't see Sicily go as much forward as what I thought, you know, you kind of talked about there in terms of that last 10 minutes. But, I still do think there's going to be times when They might swing him forward to try and obviously win the game. But I think there was also some comments post-match as well by one of the coaching staff that they realised that James Sicily, his most effective position is a defender, and that's where they're going to look to use him the most. So for me, I think priced at 87, he's underpriced and he's in my side at the moment. And once again, I'm trying not to get too cute about it. He's one of these players that can throw up ceiling scores. So ceiling score players during these early round buys are really important with the best 18. So, yeah, I think he's a good pick.
He's at the Oxlongs at the moment as well, Guesty. I think the only thing that might change that is would be seeing him in opening round going forward for any other reason than to win the game. I like the idea of him going forward if the game's on the line, and I think I can see why Hawthorn do that. But it would give me some questions if he was kind of thrown forward for a quarter for no reason. But at the moment, he's at the Oxlongs as well.
I'm trying to spin myself into, like, it actually being a positive thing if he's getting flung forward if the game's, like, tightening the balance, because typically that's not chip the ball around and, you know, mark type of conditions anyway. So you might have more potential in the last 5 or 10 minutes of him maybe getting a goal or something like that if it is close and tight like that. The other thing I really liked from Sicily in the practice matches, he was tackling. I think he had like 6 tackles. And we know he had his shoulder injured for a large portion of last season. And I think that was one of the big issues for him. And a lot of reasons why he got flung forward was because he was a liability in defense because he couldn't freaking tackle anyone because his shoulder was falling out of socket every second game. So to me, that bodes well for him. And I believe, Luke, you were one of the earliest ones I remember who were really bullish on him. So I think we're all pretty keen. Do you have a line, Luke, for Sick Dog?
Like, yeah, I'd like to see 3 figures. So I'm probably similar there with Guesty. I mean, not, it's one of those ones you say 3 figures and then he pops a 95 and you go, oh, yeah, okay.
So I think 95 and a good roll. Yeah. Is good. Solid. I think, yeah, it's kind of like an extension of preseason. Like, the role is still more important, but we do want to see. Like, if he drops a 70, that's not going to fill you with confidence because the cash is going to move down and maybe you could just get him after his buy a bit cheaper. So, yeah, that's a very interesting one. I think I'm going to have big watches on him. Let's go to the Swans. Matt Roberts, Tim. This is someone who I've publicly said I'm not as keen on, but he did put up a good score in the practice match. What would it take for Matt Roberts to score for you to lock him into your side?
Yeah, I'm with some of these defensive players that I'm picking. Like, I mean, normally we'd like to see, I guess, you know, 20 points upside or an undervalued primo that maybe is, you know, I don't know, maybe 10 points underpriced, but you can see him being a top six or something along those lines. But this year I'm actually looking for not anywhere near as much as that. So for me, with a Matt Roberts, if I got 15 points out of him as upside, I would be pretty happy. So priced at 76, for him to go in that 90 range, I'd be pretty happy with. So, yeah, 90 points for me, and he'd be locked away on my side.
I reckon, especially if it's 90 points off to a flyer as well, because if he averages 90 over the course of the season but averages less in the first 6 games, then it probably makes a difference. But because you get to see that opening round score, if he gets, you know, if he gives you 90 to 100 in that opening round, you'd know that he's probably going to get off to some pretty quick cash generation, which I think is good to lock away because you know how many trades we have. So there's every chance, you know, the way things go, that he comes in and he goes out and he's done his job.
And like you said with the other players as well, it's role-related as well. Like, if he's locked into that halfback role, which it seems like he will be, I mean, I think we do have to be a little bit concerned about, you know, with Goulden going down, they might move him up into a wing or something like that. But I think it's unlikely. But, yeah, 90 points in that halfback role, and he'll be sitting quite nicely on my side, as he has been all preseason.
Yeah, I think me just being from a little bit further back to maybe you guys, I'd love to see him turn up for me to jump on board. And the caveat is also it depends on what some of these other guys do. Like, if he goes 90 and, you know, Perryman and Sicily and De Koning all do nothing, then, okay, well, then I'll probably go his way. So this is also dependent on the other players. But if they all do what I expect them to do, I think I'm more towards the 100 for myself. What about the Perryman? Are you a spicy, a mild? Like, how hot are you on the Perryman?
Look, I guess I'm hot. He's once again, he's another player that's been in my side all preseason. You know, I think maybe just a little bit of baggage from last year. I think I overthought a few picks last year, and I'm trying not to overthink a few picks this year. And I think Perryman is one of those players that I don't want to overthink. Changing clubs, changing roles. I think Collingwood have pretty clearly communicated he's got that midfield role. There are some concerns about how much he can score in that role, obviously in that Collingwood system. But I'm a bit like Matt Roberts with Harry Perryman. If he can score a 90, I'd be happy with that. Once again, just trying to squeeze those 15 points out. And, you know, I think he'll have a chance to do that, whether that's through disposals, probably more so through tackles. But once again, you know, I think 10 to 15 points upside is pretty solid, pretty certain in him, and I'll be happy with that.
Luke, do you have a line?
Yeah, it's a little higher for me, I reckon. I would love to see three figures. The tackles is interesting for me because when we were watching, I think it was his most recent, the Community Series game, and he tackled his way to a good score early, and I remember saying to Mitch, I don't know if I can rely on a guy that needs that many tackles to get to that score, but then Mitch sort of said, glass half full, it's a pretty uncontested game. If a guy can tackle like that in an uncontested game, then what does that mean for real footy? So the perspective is important, but because he's a guy that hasn't been at the Oxlongs, I think I put that extra baggage on, and I think that three figures would get it done for me. It also is interesting now, given that we may not have Geelong and Brisbane, and there may be a couple of those, like the SDKs, potentially at Holmes, that aren't playing on that bye anymore, that he could slot in and it not be as much of a liability.
Yeah, I'm more bullish personally on Perryman than I am on Roberts, so I think I think I'm a 90. I am interested, like they have GWS in round one, and last year they were like a semi-hard team. I think just personally the start of the year, they're going to be quite an easy matchup. I can definitely see that, especially for those who are not getting tagged by Toby Bedford. Because, you know, you don't have Tom Green in there. They don't have Perryman. They don't have Perryman. but you don't have Peatling, the other P, who was a defensive-minded midfielder who was there last year. So they've got old Cogsy. They've got Josh Kelly, who's been a winger for the last couple of years. Callahan, who still doesn't strike me as a defensive-minded mid. So I think their midfield depth is a bit shallower than it normally would be. So I actually think it could be maybe a deceptively easier matchup. And then they go into Port Adelaide and the Bulldogs. And the Bulldogs are pretty beat up too as well. So that might be a bit easier than normal. But Port Adelaide, I mean, they just tore apart St Kilda the other day. So it might be...
The Saints, though.
Yeah, the Saints did look terrible. But I will say, Port Adelaide have always been tough. I expect them to be tough again. But just flagging that a little bit, because the first game after in round one, the first one that counts for us, I don't think it's going to be a necessarily positive matchup. And we want him to start off making cash for us. All right, let's talk about Sam De Koning. Assuming they're playing in the Cyclone. And that's the other thing. Like, if Sam De Koning, let's say they don't play, I reckon most people won't be able to go and launch into SDK based on what we saw. Like, so two-part question, Gesty. If it was based on right now, if we didn't see another opening round zero, the game's cancelled, would SDK be in your side? And if opening round is playing, what line would you need to see from him to confirm that he's in your side?
So answer to the first question is no, he wouldn't be in my side. He's not in my side now. And I think to answer the question, look, if he was able to score an 80 against Oscar, that would give me some confidence. But I don't see that happening.
Luke?
Yeah, he's a tough one. I mean, even that little patch at the end of last year, it was up and then it was down. In that sort
he's
of
due
four,
for 100.
4 or 5 week period. I don't think I have to see too much, but it would be around the 80, and there's still a chance that if he doesn't play, there's still a chance that I'm so unhappy with the way my defense looks that I would, at the moment, I think he's sitting at a six. So there'd be a chance that I would just back that in.
Right. Am I right in saying you haven't adjusted that since the Community Series game, or you have, or your team?
Since the Community Series game.
Yeah, have you adjusted that?
Yeah, I've adjusted his position.
Oh, I see.
So,
I see.
Yeah, even though I thought he was a little bit stocks down.
I'm still bullish, I think. I think if we didn't see an opening round game, I think he's a player, because I don't have a lot of confidence in other options, that I might still launch into him. I think we saw the role. I said this on... When did I say this? Was it the Patreon episode or something like that? Last year, Tristan Sherry, in his Community Series games, scored a 64. So he went, what, 11 points better than SDK did? And obviously he went on to average 114, 50 points better than that game. So it's harder when you see it and it doesn't look great. And we preach it all the time. Don't look at scores, look at role. Well, this is the example. This is the example of like putting that knowledge to the test, walking the walk after talking the talk. So to me, if I don't see anything from here, I think, now again, depends on the other guys. Like if Perryman, Roberts, Max Holmes all come out and score 130s each, well, then he might have to make way to fit all three of those guys in. But at the moment, I do think he'll be in my side. I think if we see opening round, like I'm not going to start him if he comes out and scores a 60, but if he goes 75 and just outdoes his price a little bit and gets that cash rolling, I think I'd be happy to start him. So maybe a bit more bullish on him than you guys are.
Well, round one, he could be up against Liam Reedy, right? So that might not be such a bad matchup. But yeah, it's going to kind of have a lot to do with how he scores in that opening round if it goes ahead.
Let's head into the midfield now. We won't talk on the rookies because I think that'll be a little bit more obvious for a lot of people. So it's more about these mid prices and underprice premiums that I think people want to hear our discussions on. So let's talk about Luke's favorite player. And to be fair, he's right up there for me as well. Nick Dacos. He looked fucking great. It was against the Richmond Cones. Let's all keep that in mind. Let's really, really keep that in mind. But scored 100, what did he score? 120 plus in less than three quarters.
Did you see how I extrapolated that and assuming that he kept his points per minute based on his like time on ground? He
was it like a 180 or
he was on track for 180.
Yeah, it's crazy. Absolutely crazy. He had points per minute over two, which is insane. Is there a score, Guesty, that gets him in your side?
My first answer is no.
Oh, but he's thinking about
it. It's kind of got to be, right? It's kind of got to be. But everyone has a price, you know? Everyone has a price.
That's it.
But look, I mean, just early round buy. I mean, at the moment, you know, I guess the only reason is structure for me. At the moment, I don't even have a mid over $1 million. So, you know, that midfield, you know, I think initially we thought, you know, that the forward line was going to be really, really tough. We've had so many options kind of raise their heads in the forward line. I think that's kind of worked itself out. Defense was pretty tough, but, you know, once again, there's kind of some value options there, but there's just so many value options in the mids. It's like, how do you fit them all in?
Yeah.
So that's what makes it really hard. And I just don't think from a, you know, game theory point of view, you can afford to have someone who potentially could be pretty close to being fully priced with an opening round buy. So, I just think you have to fade at the moment.
I think I agree. I don't think there is a score. He comes out and scores 200. All right, he scores 200. Okay. I'd probably start him.
140. I'll take 140.
Yeah, 140. I see. Okay. I still think I'd fade.
I'll put my money where my mouth is. If he scores 140, I'll pick him.
Hey, you said that online, mate. This is going onto the internet. This is a binding contract. You know this.
Even if it fucks my team, if he scores 140, I'll pick him.
Yeah. I don't think I'm going to go there. I think it's just a matter of, you know, he's priced at 105. At best, he probably goes, let's say he has like, you know, the greatest year we've seen in a number of seasons and he goes 120. If he does that, I think you'll still have chances to jump on if it looks like it's going that way. If he starts against Port Adelaide and just goes gangbusters, buys round four, you'll still be able to jump on. But it's still going to be only 15 points of value. And I think there's a lot of players in our midfield that present 15 points of value. So those are my thoughts there. I snuck this one in here because I think he's someone that I drafted today in the Slider Survivor draft, and I've been keen on, and he had a bit of a slow start to the preseason, which kind of faded him out of contention for me, but he has played the preseason games. Jai Caldwell, he's priced at, if you want to...
94.
Priced at 94, and there's a stat, I think after he went into the midfield, he averaged like 105 or 106 or something like that. Is there a score for Jai Caldwell that would get him onto your side, Gessie, having that round four bye, which is a little bit less popular?
So, once again, I mean, he scores a 130 or something along those lines, he's going to be on the tip of everyone's tongue. But I guess at that price, at 969, priced at 94, he's in competition for me with the likes of Connor Rosie and a Christian Petrarca, right? So, you know, where are you going to rank him against those two? I mean, I would probably rank him third before you even take into consideration that he's got an early round bye. So, you know, for me, as much as I think he is going to be a rising kind of commodity at Essendon, you know, potentially could even be more that number one, maybe Merritt kind of moves out a little bit more outside like he did a bit last year. But I just don't think he's going to find a way on my side.
Yeah, no, I think that's well summarised, Guesty. When you start to compare him with guys around a similar price point, like you said, I'd probably agree with you even before you factor in that buy. So that's the idea with these guys, is you give them a line, but if there's others that you can pick that don't have a buy that you see similar upside for, then it's just a no-brainer, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll versus the Gold Coast Suns, which are one of the better matchups for the midfields, and then he does go up against Hawthorn, Adelaide and Port Adelaide. So a very tough three-game run following a really easy one. So for me, it would have to be like a 120-plus for me to consider him, because knowing that it is an easier matchup going into some harder ones, I'd want to really kickstart that price cash generation. Because he's the kind of player that I think you could maybe, without locking yourself into it, you could maybe do a bit of a ride him to the buy, jump off, do a little bit of fancy trading at that time. And if you force into holding him, it's not the end of the world, because I think he is going to be a good player. So, but like I said, with that tough run after the opening round, oh, I do think, yeah, 120 would be the line for me. Let's talk about Will Ashcroft. Again, I'll ask the same question with Sam De Koning. If there was no opening round bye, if it gets cancelled and it moves back, could you start Will Ashcroft sight unseen?
No, yeah, look, yeah, I think you could. I think you could. Price to 82, I mean, look, I think I would probably want to see a nice high score from him. And this is one of those players that, you know, if he does play opening round and scores, you know, maybe a 110, 115, he certainly might be in contention. And I guess that's from the prospect also of his run early on in the season. Like, you know, well, we don't know about round zero, but Geelong, you know, a bit of an easy team for mids we saw last year, so that would probably continue. Round one against Sydney might be a bit tough, but then round two he's got the Eagles. Round four, after his bye, he's got the Tigers. Round seven, he's got the Saints. So, yeah, I think he's definitely someone to consider. I'm not sure sight unseen, though. You know, because once again, when we're looking at these other options, you've got, you know, players like a Clayton Oliver, players like an Adam Chera, you know, priced 100 grand cheaper, well, 50, 100 grand cheaper than him, who potentially can probably score about the same. So, yeah, look, it's the buy that kind of excluded him for me, but take the buy out of it and it brings him more into contention.
Yeah, I think he would for a lot of teams. I think a lot of people
looking at that run.
Yeah, the Brisbane run is very nice.
Yeah, especially if you take that bye, you just slot Geelong there at round three, and you go West Coast, Geelong, Richmond, Bulldogs, Collingwood, St Kilda, Gold Coast. I'm looking at, I've got seven fingers up, and I reckon six of them are
North
great
Melbourne.
Matchups.
Melbourne, I think even 9 and 10 like a pretty positive. Right up until Hawthorn, when it starts to get a little tougher.
You've convinced me, Guesty. Thank you.
But, and price to 82, that's. I mean, he's a player that could have 20, 25 points and put himself, you know, maybe in that range of those kind of top 10 mids.
Yep.
What about you? If there is an opening buy around Luke, if he comes out and scores a 110 in that opening buy in the Cyclone, factor that in.
Mate, the Cyclone...
Cyclone scoring is worth a little bit more.
It's my favourite ice block, the Cyclone.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Going that way.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. What's your favourite ice block, Guesty? Do you have a favourite ice block?
My favourite ice block. You mean like icy pole kind of thing?
Ice block, ice cream.
Oh, Jesus. Mate, I've got no idea.
If you haven't...
I just got the little things you buy from the bloody the shopping centre.
Zupa Dupas.
You know that?
They're unreal.
Zupa Dupas are great. If you haven't had one,
I hope they got Cyclones over in Perth. If they don't, I'll send you one.
I'll have to check it out.
You're gonna do that?
I'm sure. Refrigerated mail, mate. You know, it's 2025, Mitch.
It's fucking mad. Sending Cyclones across the country. All right. Let's talk about Will Day, who is definitely someone who spent time in my side. He didn't have a great score in the practice match, but there were some glimpses of some good solid footy. What would he have to score for you, Guesty? And is he someone that has, you know, been in contention at your team?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm going to give Bales credit for this. So, look, I think for a lot of us, he was in contention quite early on in the preseason. But one of the things that Bales picked up pretty quickly was his run. Sydney in the opening round, then he's got Essendon, Carlton, Giants. Then after his bye, he's got Port. And then it gets a bit easier with Geelong, Eagles and Richmond. But, yeah, look, I'm just a bit worried. There's also some tag targets. It's potential tags in those first few rounds as well. So, for me, and I'm just also a bit concerned about the ability for a midfielder to rack up in the Hawthorn system as well.
Yeah, I think that's a popular sentiment. Luke, do you have a line?
It's going to be high for me. I'm thinking it's going to be 105 plus, and for a couple of those reasons that you mentioned, Guesty. And the other reason to add to that, I think, is that we've just got so many great options in the midfield that present value this year, it seems. So he'd have to do something 105 plus and impress me there. And to be honest, there would probably even be an underlying thought for me to trade him at his bye as well if I were to pick him.
I'm more bullish than you both. I think a 90-plus would get it done for me. Like you said, it is a tougher matchup against Sydney, so if he can go 90-plus against Sydney, I think that bodes well for his projected average. I think if I am starting him, I'm going to want to hold him because, like you did mention there, Guesty, his run from round 6 onwards, Geelong, West Coast, Richmond, Melbourne, Gold Coast, that is a fantastic 5-game run.
So you're willing to cop some punishment early days?
I think so. And again, it depends on the rest of my team. Like if I have him and Sicily, like maybe there's some things that maybe you start to think about when it comes to how many guys you want on that bye. But I feel more confident with him going 90 plus, 95 plus than some of the other players, such as like an Adam Chera and those sort of types in that similar kind of price bracket. I just basically don't want him to tank his price and tank his average to start the year. So if he kind of gets within the realms of what I expect him to do, then it's enough of a tick for me. So not as concerned about the early round fixtures because I plan to hold him a little bit longer, being sort of what I would consider an underpriced premium rather than like a true quote-unquote mid-pricer is sort of, I guess, my rationale there. What about, let's go over to the Giants and a breakout contender. A guy who we were watching this game together in the practice match, and I sort of turned to Luke after the first quarter and said, "Man, Finn Callahan, he's just not going to get it. He's not going to get it done, is he?" And then he went and had a 50-point quarter, I think, in the second quarter. So, what would Finn Callahan have to do to sort of, or is there something he could do, or do you think that it's a bit tough?
I think if he turned up, he'd put himself into contention. I must admit, look, I have not really paid much attention to Finn all year. So I once again, I'm probably not the best person to ask. You know, it kind of fits into that same, I guess, conversations we were having before. It's just that it's a tricky price, right? There's just so many options. You're not going to go against the Clayton Oliver at that price. I am a bit hotter on Adam Chera. I think his ability to score plus his good early run, I think that gives him a good option there. And then, you know, but I mean, you could argue about Will Day as well, right? But then, okay, what, you're going to throw a Finn Callahan in there as well? Yeah. So how many of these players at this price can you fit in, especially when they've got early buys? I mean, round 2 buy, it's going to be real hard.
Yeah, it is one of those ones where it is like you get one game and then he's on the buy. So it's like, could you just wait a game and then get him off his buy and you're off to the races? At least you've got 2 points of data to point to say he's going to be a good pick. I think it would have to take something pretty big, like a 120 for me to start him. Luke, are you?
Yeah, I mean, his scoring in that preseason game sums it up. At either side of that 54-point second quarter, he had a 9-point first and a 12-point third quarter. Yeah. So that's the Finn Callahan we know. And if you get 4 of those quarters, you're up the creek without a paddle.
I'm going to combine these next 2 players and throw it over to you, Guesty. 2 cheap players that have come into contention these last couple of weeks. Angus Sheldrick and Mitch Nevitt. Now, Mitch Nevitt plays Geelong. Maybe he doesn't even have the opening round. But those 2 players in the 400,000s, maybe some people have them at M6 or M7 in the place of some rookies. This year seems to be a popular play. What do we need to see from those guys?
Well, if we're just going to make it up as we go, let me throw something back at you, right? Now, let me add 2 players to this mix, right?
Okay.
I want to add Hugo Garcia and Nathan O'Driscoll, right? So they're all very similarly priced in that kind of mid 400 price range. I mean, look, I'll give you my opinion first. I kind of rate probably an Angus Sheldrick as the number one out of all of those players. I think he's got some pretty good scoring from his juniors. I think with the injury to Mills and Goulden, he's going to get a pretty good role there. And we've seen him before, you know, when he's kind of had that role, score pretty well. So for me, look, I think if he gets a 75, that's enough for me to put him in there. Mitch Nevitt, look, once again, I don't like Geelong players. I'm always a bit concerned about what Chris Scott's going to do. I am concerned that when Bailey Smith comes in, Mitch Nevitt might go kind of straight out of those CBAs. So he falls down the rungs, I guess, for me. But I guess, in, you know, kind of asking you guys what you think as well, throw in Hugo Garcia and Nathan O'Driscoll, and how would you rank those four players?
Yeah, for me, both O'Driscoll and Garcia are at the Oxlongs. And, I mean, those guys don't have the early bye, which is, you know, helpful, ticks in their boxes as well. Sheldrick, Nevitt, for me, he's on the Nevitt again list. But for me, O'Driscoll... sorry, Sheldrick...
That's a layup.
Thank you.
It's so great to see this in live action, you know?
Sheldrick's actually more intriguing, and partially, I think, because of the Goulden injury as well. Mm. So I want to see... My old man's big on this pick. You should see him in our group chat. But he kind of thinks that maybe there's something to be changed there in that Sydney midfield. I'm not so convinced just yet. But given that we get a sneaky peek at it, if there's something there, then it'll have me looking after round zero.
I think.
Well, Luke, I think you should go Garcia and I'll go Sheldrick.
Nailed it, Guesty. Beautifully delivered. We love it. We love it. Now, Mitch hasn't done one yet, so the pressure's on.
Mate, I will decide when it's time to do my joke. Thank you. I think the guy with the highest upside, I think, to me, is clearly Sheldrick. I have a little bit of a concern that... Because I think Mills is... He's out until their bye round, but I don't know if he's going to be out much longer than that. I think Goulden will be out a long time, maybe, and I'm not wishing this up, but potentially the season. Like, fractured his ankle, I think,
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it didn't look good. That kind of an injury, I think, could be a bad one. But I'm not sure. I'm trying to convince more or sort of wrap my thoughts around, is Sheldrick going to need both of those players to be out, or is just one of them being out enough for him to be that smash pick? Because I think opening round one, round two, he's gonna be great. I think he's going to make us a lot of cash. I just wonder if he has that expiration date when a Callum Mills comes back and he maybe moves a bit more out onto the wing or half forward or even, you know, where's the sub or something like that. So that's my query there. I think he has the highest ceiling. I'd probably have O'Driscoll next, then Garcia, and like I think you boys sort of seem to allude to, I think I've got Nevitt at the bottom there. So Garcia, I liked the role. I'm not 100% convinced he stays there. Because you've got Sinclair to come back and decide. You've even got someone like a Hunter Clark who didn't play. I'm not sure if he's, you know, going to be healthy for round one, but he didn't strike me as a guy that he has that position locked down. Like, they got smashed. They experimented with Nazir Wangini Miller in the midfield, which is something I didn't expect them to do. But just the fact that they were experimenting with that just makes me feel like they're not super comfortable with that mix yet. So... Garcia being a forward is also nice, but there's a little bit of unease there. So I have him behind O'Driscoll at the moment. But with that said, I do think I do want to see a big score from Sheldrick, because I think we want to really maximize that cash early while Mills is out. And if he just kind of gives me a 70 or 75 to begin, I think O'Driscoll can do that. So I think I'd probably rather go there and feel like he's a bit more locked into the side and into the team and going to continue doing what he does, regardless of who's there or not.
I think you're right. Like, you know, we know that Mills is out until the bye. I mean, you know, maybe three rounds is enough to get enough price rise in him to move off. I mean, there's probably not... We're not going to be able to going up on a rookie to a primo, you know, by kind of round three, round four. So, but you're probably right. He probably does need to score a little bit higher. But if he can, we can probably get some good price rise out of him before Mills comes back.
Yeah,
and we'll also, I mean, we've got to see what happens with Mills as well. I mean, in a moon boot, maybe he's not even back.
Yeah, well, we'll have to wait and see. I tried to think of some forwards with opening round buys, but and some rucks. There's not really many. Like, Briggs didn't play, so I think he's kind of ruled himself out. Is there a Darcy Cameron? I know this isn't on the run sheet, but is there a Darcy Cameron that, like, he scores? Like, he did this last year, actually. I think in round zero he did score, like, a 120 or 130, and I don't think anyone went there. Is that sort of same story this year?
Well, there has been a bit of talk about the upside that he's got. I mean, I don't know that he's probably going to get too much ownership just with the likes of, you know, English and Max Gawn and Tom DeKoenig and then, of course, Cherry. But look, I mean, what's his name? Cox. I don't think we're going to be seeing too much of Cox this year, so he's probably going to get more of that ruck share and probably got a bit of upside in him. But, yeah, he's not really been someone that I've been looking at.
It's usually a good thing we don't see too much of Cox throughout the season. So
I'm gonna steer clear.
Let's go to the forward line. Bailey Smith obviously didn't play the last community series game. Now, sight unseen, we don't get a round zero. We're still starting him. Not too worried if he's named, obviously, round one.
Well, why don't we flip this one up? Let's go the other way.
Yeah.
What would he have to score for you to not start him, right? Because, very nice. I mean, I wondered, you know, and it was only really, I guess, after all the preseason games had finished, but I'm actually getting a bit concerned about a Bailey Smith. I mean, we're not even sure where he's going to fit into that Geelong side. I mean, some of the comments coming out of the coaching staff there have indicated it's not necessarily going to be, you know, a main midfield role. They're kind of going to let him run around the outside a little bit more. So, and with the kind of injury concern and not getting a look at him before round zero, yeah, what do you think? I mean, what is he priced at?
He's priced at 58. So he's so cheap.
Oh, no, it's hard to go
against him. If he scores less than a 70, I'm definitely concerned. What if he scores less than an 80? If he scores in the 70s, do you hesitate? The other thing is we've got some good options in the forward line that have put their hands up, you know, like – I wasn't really keen on Horn Francis. He's kind of changed my tune. We even had someone like Finlayson come out of nowhere, and he's the answer to Dan Houston role. So, you know, all these other guys sort of put their hands up in and around the forward line that maybe we weren't considering before. So, yeah.
If look, I think a 60 for me would have me worried. And look, I mean, I think the other thing is, and Mitch, you probably know better than anyone else, right? But the game's changed. Like, fantasy as a game has changed, and you've got to be a lot more aggressive than you've got to be, 5 years ago or 10 years ago or even 15 years ago when I kind of started playing. So there's definitely going to be coaches out there that if he, you know, doesn't go too well in opening round, that they could potentially jump off and go for some of these other options. And, you know, I think our savvy coaches, or we'd like to think we're savvy, right? But we should be thinking about it.
I don't think.
I mean, Isaac Rankin. I mean, he would have shot up people's kind of, relevancies with getting as many CBAs as what he got. I don't think we expect him to get that many.
Yeah, well, I've been talking about Rankin all preseason. Mitch hasn't been anybody jumped on the bandwagon after the game. So,
well, you are the reigning champion of the Content Creators Cup, mate. So we should be coming to you if you'd be advised, not Mitch.
I know my ass from my elbow. Bailey Smith, if he scored 70 points in a predominantly wing role, there's a chance that I might
fade.
Give him the flick.
Yeah, I think Yeah, I think that kind of a score would definitely have me considering other options. And I'm not sure how well mullets do in tornadoes. Like, I think it's a bit of a wind drag, you know. Like,
don't worry about me. Like I said, I tested the wind today, and I'm A-okay.
Okay, so you're the mullet spokesperson, you're the wind spokesperson. We're all sweet.
I'm
so.
A guru.
Well, that's our opening round preview. Hopefully there is an opening round for us for this podcast to be relevant. So, but thank you very much, Gessie, for coming on the show. Obviously, you mentioned before at the start of the show that if you want to come and challenge the other content creators, the podcasters, take on the champs. The reigning champ in the Oxlongs and Luke Rogerson, head over to, or give us, I'll let you do it, but what are the things you have to do? Just remind them all the time.
infinitewealth.com.au/AFL fantasy.
That's it. And if you haven't done so already and you want to jam in just that little bit of extra preseason and have some great help throughout the season as well, head over to our Patreon, patreon.com/theballboys. And also check out the AFL Fantasy Fanatics Patreon as well. They launched it not too long ago as well. So
in the description.
I've signed up and there's some great stuff in there as well already. So head over to both those Patreons and make sure you like, subscribe, and we'll see you guys after opening round. Until then, guys, bye. Bye.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say, ahoy, or land ho, and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.